Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We want to talk about rediscovering God in America. You know, the three kind of pillars of VFNTV is the fact that we stand for God and country in that order and for Israel. And we shared many programs on the original intent of our nation. And we believe that God has great things in store for the United States, but, you know, we're going to need to respond to God. We are a blessed nation. And I'll tell you, the more that I get a chance to speak to people that are from other nations and have visited other nations, I marvel at the tremendous blessing that we have here in the United States, and I consider how many folks have taken it for granted. I met a gentleman the other day from Sri Lanka. We'll be talking more about him, you know, in this segment. But he says he's a citizen. He says, "I feel I'm more American than many of the people that live here and have generations here all their life." And he says, "I believe in this country and what this country has been able to do and help and touch, something, you know, all over the world." And so I go, wow, amazing. But I've came across this book. It's called Rediscovering God in America, written by Newt Gingrich. And it's an excellent little book. I've enjoyed it. And basically what he does in this book is kind of talk to us about God and how God has always been in the forefront of this country. And he takes you on a walking tour, if you will, of the monuments in Washington, D.C. Pretty amazing. So you go to National Archives, the Washington Monument, the Jefferson Memorial, Lincoln Memorial, Vietnam Veterans Memorial, the U.S. Capitol Building, Supreme Court, Library of Congress, and a few others. And really, really insightful, but really got me to thinking, you know, where are we today? You know, where are we? The America we're seeing today, Pat, is far different. Far different from what the founding fathers had envisioned. And it's not that it's totally over for America, but you will not find too many people who will say that she is not on a slippery slope. I mean, you know, not looking good right now. And we believe there's going to be some of the best of times and the worst of times kind of all combined. And there's still hope. I mean, there is still hope for America. But, you know, we're going to need to do what we're going to need to do, which is turn our hearts back to God to see everything change and turn back the way it needs to be. But today in society, you look back and you start to see, you know, how God's being removed everywhere. I think Todd Starnes wrote a book called Godless in America, and it kind of talks about these things. But you look back and when prayer was taken out of school, you know, it's God being taken out of school. You look back where now you see on different school events, whether it be high school graduation or any type of, you know, program, there's no prayer allowed at these public events. So you're taking prayer out of the public, you know, stage at these events at school. You've seen where the Ten Commandments were pulled down. I mean, Major and the judge Moore in Alabama, I mean, they had to take the Ten Commandments off of his courtroom wall.
Wow, remember that?
Remember that? I mean, that was serious. Like, no, don't want God, right? And then, of course, there was a major push to remove "In God We Trust" off of our money, and this happened back in 2013. There was a case that came against the U.S. Treasury Department. Huffington Post reports this, and he says, and other government officials who brought forth by the Freedom From Religion Foundations and others, and this is basically what happened. They were represented by an atheist lawyer called Michael Newdow, and the plaintiffs argued that they were forced to proselytize by an act of Congress for the deity they don't believe in, and whenever they handled money. Well, back in 2013, you know, this did not pass. This did not go through. It was actually it was dismissed. And in dismissing the suit, the district judge, Harold Baer, wrote that the Supreme Court has repeatedly assumed that the motto's secular purpose and effect, according to the Associated Press, also he wrote that the federal courts have found no constitutional violation in the motto's inclusion on our currency. This is what the judge ruled, and that the placement of the phrase didn't constitute a substantial burden on atheists. You know, "In God We Trust" was first approved by Congress and put on our coins during the Civil War in 1864. Uh-huh. And then, you know, Congress back in 1956 basically passed a resolution to say that this would be our national motto, replacing uh-huh. E Pluribus Unum. And it's just interesting to see how all that, you know, uh-huh. unfolds. And then recently we shared on VFN TV how there's the Prayer Caucus and mm-hmm. other organizations that did a big push right now mm-hmm. to get "In God We Trust" back on everything that was basically scraped out of, and we'll make sure that's related.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's so significant when you understand, because a lot of times, you know, we're talking so much about what's happening in Israel and Gaza and about the media, and it's the same thing. It's just like you can't listen specifically to what's being shared about in regards to the government of America, because there are leaders that are seeking the face of God. There are leaders that mm-hmm. are praying. There are leaders that are understanding that our only strength comes from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Mm-hmm. And that's so huge to hear how they're having such a forceful advance to say, no, we stand on "In God We Trust." And also too, what's so significant, like you're talking about, as far as taking the Ten Commandments out of the courtrooms, Wall Builders did a fabulous segment, I think it's like a 10-part DVD, mm-hmm. and we'll make it related. There's a past article we talked about it, but it's called the American Heritage Series, and David Barton does. And it's a conversation that they have going step by step through the process of how America was birthed, based off of the truth of just the biblical heritage and understanding where we come from and understanding how we got here. Mm-hmm. It's just like, it's just the whole time you're just listening, amazed and shocked. It's like, I didn't know that.
But the truth is, if you listen to today's media outlets, you would be convinced that God has no place in our government, no place mm-hmm. in our country, mm-hmm. when in fact it was our country that was founded for the purpose of people looking for a place where they can freely serve God.
That's right.
I mean, the pilgrims came here, and even Israel financed Christopher Columbus's voyage here to say, go find us a place where we can worship, because King Ferdinand is throwing us out in Spain. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. But all of this, you know, ultimately led to the Declaration of Independence. I had an awesome opportunity when I lived up in the Northeast in New Jersey to go to Philadelphia and the City of Brotherly Love, and just to be around. I went to Constitution Hall, and man, it was just awesome. Just to see where even the Declaration of Independence was actually written out. Mm-hmm. You know, it was really cool. It's downtown. I mean, the house, they preserve a house in the middle next to a building, but I saw it. but listen to what the Declaration of Independence actually says. It says, when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with one another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitles them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to this separation. This is the part that a lot of people are familiar with. It says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Think about that. It says that, you know, these truths and these rights are what? They are endowed by our Creator. Mm-hmm. That means, endowed means supplied by mm-hmm. God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, unalienable means incapable of being transferred by another. That's what that means. It's incapable. That means the state can't transfer these rights. You can't transfer this thing because it was already given to us by God. And this thing we're talking about is called our rights.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll call our rights. And it's so important because there are some that would want you to believe that rights come from government.
Right.
I mean, really, they would really want you to believe that rights don't come from God, that they come from government. And but in order to do that, they have to discredit God. And that's why God has been trying to, you know, you either try to discredit God, you either try to ignore God, you try to either remove God so that there's no discussion of it, of him. They've taken any kind of reference out of, you know, what's being taught in schools today. And it's like you would think that if your child goes to school, that God was not even on the forefront of the minds of the founding fathers. They say the Declaration of Independence, you know, oftentimes there's 27 things that were listed in the Declaration of Independence, and they always talk about taxes. They don't talk about how King George intertwined the state and religion together, and to disobey the king would be to disobey God. And that's not right. But if we remember that if the government is the one that gives us these rights, then understand that the government is the one who can take away these rights.
Right.
The rights are given from God. Simple, plain, simple. And look at the freedom that God gives every man. I mean, we talk about that word a lot, you know, and especially in the United States, and we talk about fighting for freedom and defending freedom. And how that's a core value for us. But freedom didn't even originate with the United States. Hello.
Right.
It originated with God. And look at the freedom that God gives every man, woman, and child who has ever lived.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God's given each person the freedom to either receive him or to reject him.
Mm-hmm.
It's given them the freedom of choice, which is so powerful, because with the freedom of choice then comes, you know, consequences for the choices that you make.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you hear people make these false claims that, this country was not founded on Christian principles, we want you to remind them of some of these words. And this is interesting. This is what President Washington said. It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God and to obey his will. Think about that. It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge God and the providence of Almighty God and to obey his will. This is
powerful.
George Washington. Or listen to what Benjamin Franklin said. God governs in the affairs of men, and if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid?
Mm.
Understand that when you look at some of these other nations around the world and you think, man, it is rough. This is an impoverished place. There is no technology. There's no comparison. Why has God blessed us?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Benjamin Franklin was a signer of the Declaration of Independence and of the Constitution. And when you think about the Declaration of Independence, it contains four references to God. One as a lawmaker, the laws of nature and nature's God, as creator endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, as supreme judge, the supreme judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, and as protector. Four times in the Declaration of Independence, the protection of divine providence.
Mm-hmm.
So to separate God from, you know, America in terms of why our country was founded, you know, because they were founded on Judeo-Christian, you know, principles, hello, it's a big thing.
Right.
It really is a big thing. And we want God in our nation. We want the blessing of the Lord in our nation. And if we lose God, then believe me, we're close to you know, losing our nation.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I was talking about meeting a gentleman the other day from Sri Lanka, and he was telling me that in that country, there's only 8 to 13% Christians in that country. 75%, he was guesstimating, are Buddhists, and the rest are Muslim. And he was telling me how, you know, that nation is poor, and that our American currency was like 130, whatever the currency is in Sri Lanka is, compared to our $1. I mean, he said things have changed here in the last several years, but if you had American money, you could live, like, you know, very well, he was saying. And then I know folks who have been to Haiti, and they say the same thing, you know, about the stark contrast between the wealth of the United States and a poor country like Haiti. And there's tons of other countries that we can begin comparing. But one of the things that we have to remember is that we just didn't get here. America didn't get here because we pulled up our own bootstraps. We didn't get here just because of our hard work and our intelligence. Mm-hmm. We got here because there were men and women that loved God in this country, that wanted to put God first and wanted to do the right thing. They mm-hmm. wanted to honor God. Mm-hmm. And we have been seeing, you know, a decline, if you will. And there's moments in our country where there's great outpouring, and we had a first great awakening, a second great awakening. We've had many revivals in our country where people were turning back to God. And then we've seen times where it's been very dark. And what we want to do is avoid the slippery slope that we're on. I mean, mm-hmm. we can turn the tide. We can turn our hearts back to God. When we get back from this break, we're going to discuss more about rediscovering God and saying, you know what? We want to be a nation that not just says, God bless America, but we want to be a country that says America is going to bless God. Mm-hmm. We're talking about rediscovering God in America. Great little book I picked up. Not finished with it yet, written by Newt Gingrich, and it talks about reflections on the role and faith of our nation's history and future. And he takes you on a walking tour of some of the monuments, and really interesting. It just kind of gives us a perspective that oftentimes is not being shared in today's media educational system. And but what we're seeing today in our society is everywhere God is mentioned, there's trying to either erase it or ignore it away, you know, or discredit it. Mm-hmm. And the truth is that you can't do that. He's God. You can't right. do it. And so, but we got to get back to this, which is 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then what? God will forgive our sin, heal our land. He'll, you know, he'll turn. We'll turn, you know, he'll restore us. But this is what we need to do. We need to turn from our wicked ways. We got to turn back to God. You know, this is what was said when George Washington took the oath of office in 1789. He asked that the Bible be turned to Deuteronomy 28. That's what he asked. Mm-hmm. And immediately following the oath, George Washington added, "So help me God." And then bent forward and kissed the Bible before him.
Wow.
The first president. Think about what the first president, then he turned the Bible to Deuteronomy 28. He said, "I want that open." Mm-hmm. I want you to read the first verse in Deuteronomy 28. It says, "If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on the earth."
Wow.
Wow.
Come on now. That's some good stuff right there.
That's good.
That's some good stuff. This is the beginning. Mm. These are the roots. These are first principles of America. And the truth is that if we want politicians and leaders in government like George Washington today, then we must first be those people, lovers of God, because from us, you know, that's how we get elected officials. Elected officials is when us, we the people, someone rises up and says, "I want to serve my country. I want to be a representative." So it's not about pointing at a politician and say, "You get right." It's about us getting right as a nation. Mm-hmm. And among us, as we're getting right and we're turning our hearts to God, we elect representatives that are going to stand for God and country, right? But God absolutely first.
That's right.
Listen, it's time to return back to our original intent. It's time to say, you know what? It's not about God blessing America. It's almost embarrassing to say that anymore, because really, how much more does God have to bless America? Right. We are the lone superpower in the world. You know, we have one of the most amazing militaries in the world, great servicemen and women. Even in our recession, if you will, in tough economic times that our country is in the middle of and still trying to recoup from, we are still by far the most wealthiest people in all of the land. I believe, you know, we only represent 5% of the population, but 80% of the world's wealth is in this country. And the United States has sent out more Christian missionaries than any other nation. God has blessed us indeed. It's no longer, I don't think, appropriate to say, you know, God bless America. I think we need to start saying maybe America, let's bless God. Let's get ourselves together. Let's get ourselves right and return back to the Father, return back to his ways, and make God's values our priorities. Let's get the Ten Commandments back up on the walls. But more than on the walls, let's get the Ten Commandments back in our hearts. Mm-hmm. Let's live for God. And the natural byproduct of doing right are the blessings that come for obedience in Deuteronomy 28. When we get our hearts right, the natural byproduct is God's just going to bless us because we are doing things with the right motives in the right ways. Let me tell you, it's time to get back to the original intent. Mm.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.